Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are. We took a week off, or I did. I had errands and chores to do. So here we are in the 18th of month six, trying to figure out what's going on with all the crazy stories and stock market manipulations and all the rest.
Yeah, you know, you're familiar with Salesforce, right?
Yeah.
So for about 3 years, 4 years, I've taken several of the 30-day trials. And every time I said, what do people like about this? I don't understand. Because one of the criteria is that in the standard setup, you're required to use a company. So if I was to put you in as a contact, I would have to put a company name of some sort. Well, that just doesn't work all the time. It's stupid.
Well, you can just say the guy's name is the company.
Right, but then you have to set up a contact underneath him.
Oh, you do?
So it's just the whole thing. And if you set up a contact without the company, or the account they call it, then nobody else in your firm can see it because it's a private account, private contact. So I went round and round on this till I finally did a little more research. I dug in. You know, the little known secret that you can actually change the account if you beg, borrow, and steal with Salesforce. They'll change it so that you don't have that requirement. But anyway, the point is that fast forward, you mentioned something about the date a moment ago.
Yeah.
So we're trying to do some importing of dates.
Right. You got 6/18 and 18/6.
There's all these different things going on,
right?
Well, so we try 6/18/2013, 2013/6/18, every combination you can imagine.
Right.
Okay.
How about
nothing?
Including 06/18?
Nothing. 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 We have to add, this is what we found. We have to put a T after the date. Then use 00:00:00Z for Zulu time.
What?
I'm like,
what are you talking about?
I'm telling you, it worked.
But what is this? You're still talking about Salesforce?
Yeah, we had to import a bunch of records.
And you couldn't come up. Oh, interesting.
The date stamp.
That's dumb. Oh. This company's huge. They should be able to have all these filters that do all this for you. That's
no
the
idea
of computers, by the way.
Yeah,
they're supposed to do a lot of this work because they can.
Right. Well, this was actually a two-step process utilizing a program that translates the information because part of it's CSV, part of it's XML.
Uh-huh.
And we just kept getting stuck because it kept spitting back to us saying, sorry, date code's wrong. I'm thinking, what do you mean? So what do? I call up Salesforce. I get my guy. I get one of the lead technical guys. No idea. So we find out through trial and error. I don't even know how Kevin did this in my office. He kind of did something. He says, I have an idea. So he did something. It worked perfectly. Anyway.
Well.
The world of technology.
Well, some of this stuff's pretty bad.
I will say this, though. You want to hear something really bizarre?
Yeah.
While we're on, there's a lot of little bitty things that I can tell you about this process. So for one thing, for example, is let's say you use Word. And let's say that you want to say, okay, I want a connector with Salesforce so that when I put in a code that says, like, you know, brackets name or something like that, you know, your name will fill in automatically if I choose you as the contact record. Simple, right?
Right.
I have that. Yeah. So I install it 17 times, wondering what is going on here. I figure, I know. It's an add-in, and my system has some security maybe on it, and it's not allowing the add-in. Nope, that's not it. So I look around, can't find anything, okay? Turns out the last update they had of this was for Office 2007.
Wow.
And I used 2010. Now, this has been going wrong. Now, the reason why I think it is because there's plenty of these companies out there that are providers for Salesforce in their marketplace that do all sorts of document stuff, really cool document stuff. You know, click a button, the whole document fills out, forms and all that. So what I need to do, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. If anybody out there uses Salesforce and has Office 2007, there are a couple of files, you know what I'm talking about, the add-in files, that if you could send to me, I can then jury-rig the system to understand that in Word 2010. Seriously, guys, if you're listening, if you use 2007 Word and you have Salesforce, I need that add-in file. Thank you.
That was a long route.
Yeah. It was. All right, let's talk about what's going on. Not, you know, there's not a lot of news. There's news, but it's not a lot of exciting news. Earnings season's pretty much over. We got one earnings out today, a couple coming out in the next few days. We see that North Korea, nothing going on there. We got some news in China, but Icon is back trying to buy Dell again, which we thought he was out of the picture.
Yeah, you know, this is getting to be a – I don't know what the point of all this is anymore.
I know.
Can you find other things to do?
No. It's a game. But the news that is shaping the tape is this whole word taper. Not the animal, the tip here, but taper, which is a word that means what? It means tightening up, would you say?
Taper means it's going into, it gets focusing better. It's like a taper, mm-hmm. I think.
Tapered suit, like a European cut? Maybe?
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, something to tape. Yeah, tapers, it goes smaller.
I've seen you. You must wear a European cut, right?
I wear flannel shirts.
Flannel shirts?
Yeah, it's the latest. I've decided I'm heading a little bit over to hipster.
Wow.
I'm wearing mostly corduroy and flannel shirts, and although it's during the summertime, it looks stupid. And I have a few jackets, but if I was in the business world and I didn't have to, you know, just if I wasn't doing what I do with podcasts where nobody's looking at me, I love the European cuts.
Corduroys are back?
Yeah, they've been back for a while.
You know, you can't throw out anything. You know what I'm saying?
Well, they look a little different than the ones you used to wear when you were a little kid.
Yeah.
I only wore that corduroys. This is the third time I remember corduroys being in quasi-vogue. They've never been in vogue.
Let's just hope to God that the leisure suit doesn't make a comeback.
It's the right decade for it.
It is.
And when Hillary gets in, she could make it, you know, by edict that you have to wear a leisure suit.
Well, taper is a word that's kind of been spooking markets because Bernanke mentioned this word because he wouldn't say stop, cut back, or, you know, scale back. You have to use a word that you don't exactly know what it means. That's what central bankers do, by the way. They use words that can be interpreted in 12 different ways. So the word taper was used at one of his last conversations that, you know, we may taper the bond buying. And what happened was markets started getting all spooked. We had three of the last 4 weeks, the markets were down. Although a lot of stocks held pretty well, but, you know, getting hurt. You had, the international markets getting a little bit upset. The dollar starts rising again. Commodities start kind of in metals start coming in a bit. And tomorrow's the big day. Tomorrow's the day that is the question, is the Fed going to slow down on their purchases because they're seeing a better economy and they're seeing a stronger, quote-unquote, stronger job market, according to their numbers? And by most accounts, the answer is no. Now, they did come out with a comment that said that, you know, depending on the economy, they may stay or raise or lower the amount of bond purchases that they're going to do. And I'm still befuddled about how this whole bond purchase thing helps the economy.
Well, isn't it supposed to keep the interest rates down on the short-term bonds? Or, I mean, the long-term bonds?
Well, whatever they're buying, it should, in theory, although interest rates have been rising.
Yeah.
So that's not working so well.
No, well, they got to do more.
Yeah, they got to buy more.
Double up. Double up.
Well, now we're in a race against the yen to see who can destroy the currency the fastest.
Well, how's the yen doing, by the way, today? I didn't look.
95.
So it's back. So they can't even push it far enough. So at 95, they should just thank their lucky stars and keep it there.
It was at 93 the other day.
Yeah, no, it's going the wrong way. Uh-uh.
And by the way, their markets have reacted violently to this. After, I don't know if we talked about the third arrow. Did we talk about the third arrow?
I don't remember. Maybe.
So Abenomics, which is the big plan, is a three-arrow plan plus this and that. One of them is to debase the currency essentially by doubling the monetary base. One is to create, buy all the bonds to try to keep rates down. And the third one, which was yet to be revealed, was something to do with some kind of fiscal change, growth orientation, and really popping the economy. So the first two worked pretty well to really just bash down the yen, right, and to keep rates down. Markets went up for a number of months and all. The third one comes out, and it was like a feather duster. It was a bomb, a dud. Because he said, basically, here's the plan. We're going to do something. We'll tell you about it later.
Yeah, it's kind of like the NSA telling us about all these plots that were foiled.
Right. One today, by the way.
Oh?
One, the New York Stock Exchange was going to be bombed.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Yep. Sure.
It was thwarted.
Thwarted.
Huh. Yeah.
Why would anyone want to bomb it in the first place?
Well, I mean, that you got to get respect from the financial community about that, you know?
I think it's because somebody saw that. It's in the Batman movie.
Oh, maybe. So now the Japanese market, the yen start, right after that happened, by the way, and after that came out about a week and a half ago, I said, oh, I was talking to a columnist, a Forex columnist, but I said, you know, I got to tell you something. That was not impressive, what he did. And I feel that the yen is really going to start strengthening on that. And it did. Now, the markets over there had two major drops in the last week or so. One 6%, one 7%. Now, you remember the 7% is like a flash crash over here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine people could freak out over a 2% drop over here.
Yeah, it'd be something.
7% and 6% in one day. It recovered a little bit, but still not as much. I mean, I think the high was, what, close to 16,000? It's at 13,000 and change now? Only in a short period of time. So lots going on there, lots of scare. We'll see tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Tomorrow, Bernanke will be releasing the minutes and then having one of his little tete-a-tetes with the news media, which may be one of his last in office. Do you know that, right?
Yeah, no, I guess he's bailing out.
And Obama said, hey, and Obama's starting to prep people. He said, you know what? He stayed longer than he was supposed to. He's done a really good job. And maybe it's time to do something else. The question is, who's going to be in?
Yeah, that's exactly it. What's going to happen? Who are they going to put in?
Well, if they put Janet Yellen in, who seems to be the, you know, the next potential, she is more dovish, if it's possible, than Bernanke.
Jellin Yellen.
Yeah, she would pretty much just open up Fort Knox and let everybody have money. I guess that would be good, right?
I doubt I'm going to get any of it.
It's in the mail. You'll get it eventually. You'll get it eventually. Oil's at a nine-month high. Last week's...
This makes zero sense to anyone, of course, which means it's going to have a really good turnaround.
Yeah, it's still inventories are about an 80-year high. Inventories last week built like... As a matter of fact, when the numbers came out last Wednesday at 10:30 in the morning, I said, oh, my, that was a terrible number from a bullish standpoint. You know, it's a bearish number.
Mm-hmm.
And oil dropped about 30 cents and then went higher. As a matter of fact, when we look at our stocks, I was stopped out of that oil short, if you can believe that.
Oh, that's funny.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, that is funny.
So, and you mentioned about the NSA, which when the reports first came out that there was, I don't want to call it spying, but when they first came out, there was a discussion about, oh, a lot of the major websites give data to the government. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they all came out with all sorts of comments and rebuttals, right? So you saw things like, Facebook, we do not allow full access to the government of our data. Google, the government does not get unlimited access. You know, these kind of crazy, very open-ended.
Yeah, crazy comments.
Well, now we find out that they are getting data.
Yeah, well, they're not getting they're not getting full data. In other words, the cost of a Coca-Cola in the machine, they don't get that information.
Right, but what's not full data? 98%?
Well, could be 99.9%. Then right. Maybe they don't get a look at the payroll.
Right. So now this guy that did some of this leaking and all that, he's what? He's where is he? In Hong Kong?
Yeah, still.
Hong Kong, not leaving.
No,
not gonna.
Hope they do. Who's gonna pay the bill for that hotel?
I don't know. Assange is, well, the Chinese obviously who were part of it. Assange, you know, Julian Assange is still in the UK. He doesn't want to leave. You know, all these people that leak data are...
Yeah, they're stuck. Stuck in place.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my advice to you, don't leak data. Unless you want to stay in Florida.
Yeah, it's a good place. Good place for that. Very good place for that. So the surveillance programs have disrupted, what, 50 possible attacks now since September 2011. And now they're defending...
Seems like a lot of money.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
and they can't even really name any of these attacks. They counted a couple that we've known about for years that that moron that was shopping for peroxide to blow up the New York subways, and some guy who was set up by the FBI. I think those are the only two they've talked about.
But if there are all these plots to do things, right? I mean, we did see something horrible in Boston recently. But if there are all these plots, and first of all, if there are all these plots, somebody's obviously has loose lips that keeps on somehow tipping off whoever it is to, you know,
stop the plot. Yes.
Right. You would think there'd be some little plots, little things.
You'd think there'd be some little plots, but here's what I don't want to get into this because I don't think it's got too much to do with the stock market, but I will throw it out there. If you've ever noticed, every time they find three maniacs in a warehouse in Florida that were talking casually about blowing something up, and they got arrested them. And every time they do anything like that, they make a big fanfare out of it. Look what we did. We stopped this plot. And right. They make a big deal. The FBI rolls out all kinds of data. They have presentations. They brag about it. So there's 50 of them that they're sitting on and they're not bragging about. Why is that?
Yep.
They like bragging, and I'm not seeing any bragging here, so I think this is bogus.
All right. Well, let's get back to the stock market then, okay? The Citadel botnet. Now, this concerns technology, concerns Microsoft, and there's a few other things that are involved with this. But we talk about the age of technology when it comes to computers and the stock markets. This botnet that seemed to have just engulfed Microsoft computers, desktops all around the world, about 2 million PCs were infected with this, and supposedly it stole like $500 million from bank accounts worldwide. Don't you love that?
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. But what was – I never found out what the mechanism was. They stole passwords and then they checked out a – I don't know. How did they get the money from the bank?
I mean, it could have been one of those plans that it was like one of those, you know, penny here, penny there.
Well, that's too advanced. That's a great – I mean, I think the penny here, penny there thing is dynamite. But that's – you know, it doesn't draw attention to you. You know, it's not onerous. You know, if you lose, say you lost 5 pennies over 12 months, what would you do about it?
Well, the only thing, the problem would be is that since, you know, let's say people use, if people use things like QuickBooks or whatever, you're going to all of a sudden come up with an error that you're not matching.
5 cents.
Yeah, but still, then you're going to wonder where that is.
I mean, you're going to wonder, but what are you going to do about it? Now, I'd say if people were going to go back and try to find out where the 5 cents went, you were doing work with Bank of America, you'd just assume they stole the money.
I mean, there's no really way to find out because
no,
it's just especially if it was part of another. Yeah, it would be very difficult. I agree. I don't know how they did it. But seemingly $500 million, which is no small potatoes there.
No, not in the least. I mean, but it's not been explained. I'm not.
And how does it get from computer to computer? And how does it?
Well, there's a million ways of doing that. I think there's a lot of these malware sites, these websites. You get email. I get about one of these, even though I don't get spam. One of these things slips in every once in a while. It's like a letter from some guy named Ben Johnson. And it's not a Nigerian scam letter. It's just Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson. I think I know who Ben Johnson is. And all it says is it's got a website address. And it says, cheers. You'll like this.
Right.
At the bottom. And of course, if you're stupid enough to click on it, I actually am stupid enough to click on it because I have a bunch of software running that stops it from doing anything. Right. I like to see what's going on. So you click on it and you know, you get, this is a bad site, you know, and you just, if you're running decent antivirus software, it catches all of those. And then you think, who was Ben Johnson? And then you realize you don't know anybody named Ben Johnson.
There are those names that they use that are very familiar.
Yeah.
You know, but they're going to use something from, you know, you can have any name that's going to be familiar. Anyway, let's continue on with some of these other things that are going on here. Adobe came out with earnings tonight, beating earnings estimates by a small amount, maybe about a penny, came in almost to the dime on revenue expectations. There was much more subscribers. I remember we talked about this, that Adobe is going to a different model.
Right.
They're going for the subscriber model versus the DVD, CD model, we'll call it. And it was going to take them some time to catch up. We knew that. You know, because of course it would come in slower than the, you know, one price download. So now they beat earnings by a small amount. And what they're also have is I looked and it looked to me as if they were kind of guiding down a little bit for next quarter.
Hmm.
But yet the stock was up 5% after hours. Now, we'll see what happens, you know, tomorrow and the next day, because it was good that they came to the earnings level that they did. That was good. But I've seen a couple of times recently, several times recently, that the reaction to an earnings release, if it is a beat, is very good immediately, if there's nothing really out of the ordinary about it, in the after hours. But then the next day, if there's a little bit of question as to, you know, moving forward, because it looked like, from what I saw, about a 3 cent or 4 cent deficit from what they had anticipated, they're guiding lower. I'll have to look at it again, you know, in a little more detail tomorrow, but we'll see what's happening.
I think that I like what they're doing, but I think they're kind of painting themselves into a corner, because once they get all their subscriber base up to whatever it's going to be, because it's a limited market. Not everybody in the world needs the subscription to the Creative Cloud. I mean, if you're not even doing a lot of real art, or video editing or whatever it is that you're going to use this thing for. Usually, most people use a combination of about three to four of the products. If you're a photo guy, you might use Lightroom, you might use Photoshop, you might use a couple of the other things occasionally, Illustrator. But you're probably not going to do video editing.
I like their video editor better than Apple's, by the way.
Oh, do you now?
Yeah, Premiere Pro is great. Mm-hmm. Love it. Now, by the way, they have other products. One of the things that we were looking at just this week was called EchoSign. Now, this is a document delivery / secured signing software.
Yeah.
That can plug into other things so that you can auto-populate it, send it off a signature, very highly regarded, and then it's sent back to you. Very cool.
Yeah. Assuming other people have to have it running on their machine, too.
They don't.
Oh.
That's the thing about this. Whereas if you would use secure documents now with Adobe Acrobat, you have to both have the same matching digital ID to share the document under that circumstance. And some of these other programs, like I think it's called DocuInk or DocuSign or something like that, is, you know, you have to have their software as well, and have to have an account with the other people. But this is kind of like the PDF thing where, you know, you just have to have a reader. Or you just can see it on the web, or, you know, whatever it is. So kind of a cool thing. We'll see how that flies. Not the cheapest thing in the world.
Does it come with Creative Cloud?
No. Nope.
Oh. Well, that's weird. Almost everything else does.
Yeah, this is – well, there's some other things that they have, too, that don't come with Creative Cloud. Because the Creative Cloud is on one side, but they have like a GoToMeeting kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is a whole different system. They have other server-related systems for digital rights management or and digital record management of some of their stuff. So anyway, but there's a couple of things I want to kind of get into here that is, I think, kind of fascinating. You know, over the last several years, there's been a lot of malfeasance, a lot of kind of underhanded play. We got this new LIBOR rigging thing, which everybody knew about for a while, but it's really coming out now. We have the currency manipulation that's starting to really play out, and the high-frequency trading concern that's been out there for like a long time, right?
Yep.
So the high-frequency trading thing was all about, hey, wait a minute. These guys are getting data, and they can trade it so fast, and the computers can trade it so fast. And then we got the whole scandal where they're actually paying to get data like a minute early. And this is allowed, that they can get economic data in certain circumstances early for a payment. That's pretty unbelievable.
That shouldn't be allowed.
Right. And
that's
then we see that.
Same as insider trading, isn't it?
Right. Yep. It is. It's supposed to be under fair disclosure that everybody gets the data at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So then you have the other thing where there was two instances recently that there was release of data to certain institutions about 30 seconds early. One was only 1 second early, but still. When that's fast enough for the computers to do their thing, right? I mean, we can't work in 1 second time frame.
No, that's the reason that Watson won on the Jeopardy game is because it could hit the button faster. It had nothing to do with its ability to answer questions.
Right. So now, the high frequency trading is going through, you know, all sorts of SEC investigation, all this stuff, and now they find that, you know what, all this worry that the computerized programs and algorithms and high-frequency trading was responsible for these little mini flash crashes or these little mini crashes, or, you know, the other way would be a mini rally, you know, instantaneous.
Yeah, insta-rally.
Not the fault of the computers. Nope. It's the fault of human error, not broken software.
Huh.
So there you go.
Well, they would know.
Sweep it under the rug.
Yeah, well, that's one way of doing it.
Fat finger. Just call it fat finger.
Fat finger.
That's what it is. Just blame it on the fat finger.
Oops.
Yep. And now the whole LIBOR rigging and rate manipulation thing that was going on, probably going to be met with a, you know, they're investigating, they're looking into it. Trillions of dollars of world market activity was manipulated, because when you manipulate the underlying rates of things, there's a lot of effects on other things. You follow what I'm saying?
It's a cascade effect.
Right. So all this went on, and probably nothing's going to happen, just to let you know.
Okay, thanks. Let me write that down.
Yep. And finally, from the area of fraud and, you know, from the Who Cares column, for a long time we've been talking about, you and I have been talking about, can we trust China's data?
Right, and we've come to the conclusion, no.
You can't, as I always say, you can't trust the data, but you have no choice but to use the data. Right?
Yeah.
Everybody else is going to use the data. You don't want to be sitting there going, nope, that's not true. Because when it comes out that it's not true, then you deal with that fact. So deal with the facts that are in front of us. So now we find out that China says, you know, I think you're right. There's something wrong with the export data.
They see our data's bad.
Something's wrong. What's wrong? Well, maybe it's because we allowed all these different kinds of goods to be brought in as imports, and we sent things as exports that really were not classified correctly. You know, certain financial assets and things like precious metals that were moving back and forth, and we maybe double counted a few things, and, you know, maybe we shouldn't have counted them in the first place. And so they say, we're gonna fix this. So they come out with their export numbers last month, just a few weeks ago. Expectations were for a 15% increase year over year. Came out with 1%.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a kick out of that.
So now at first glance, you say, oh my God, that's awful. That's terrible. Now I'm wondering, though, now wait a minute. Is it 1% compared to the bad data? Which wouldn't be that terrible, maybe? Because the bad data was really high, so this doesn't really... Or is it 1%? Did they adjust all their data backwards? Or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's...
Yeah, no, we have no idea.
We have no idea. So we're continuing with the... We have no idea if this data is really corrupt, just to appease everybody, or not. So we've made...
So we've gotten nowhere.
Nowhere. So now go back to using the data, not believing it, but accepting it. How sick is that?
You have no choice.
No choice. But in the meantime, China is looking to buy another food manufacturer. They're looking to buy Smithfield Foods.
I thought that deal went through.
Well, it's kind of gone through, but now the shareholders are all in a ruffle because they think that the company will be worth more. You know, they're trying to...
No, here we go again.
Yep, trying to squeeze everything they can out of the deal. So a couple activists came in and said, you know, hey, by the way, you know, you're giving us... I don't know the exact number, but $45 a share. You know, we've thought about this, and really, if you take the company apart, put it back together, and do this and that and this, and it's really $75 a share.
Yeah, sure.
So just to shut these guys up, maybe they'll do $55.
No, maybe. Maybe they'll just walk. Smithfield's not the only ham maker in the area.
Well,
but the question is, what do they want Smithfield of all places for? And the question would be, you know, what? I mean, why?
They threw out their own pigs, it seems.
Well, maybe just to catch up on the pig thing. They could supply China with a Chinese-approved product because they own them. And Smithfield is a funny product. I mean, it's an old-fashioned salting company, essentially. They don't, you know, I've always expected that company to, like, shift gears and make a copy of prosciutto. Mm. Or Iberian ham, because they have the ability, they have the right animals and the right, and that's kind of what they do, but they actually just make a salted leg, which is really so salty. I don't know if you ever cook for Smithfield products, but they
they have other products besides that. I mean, they have
bacon. They got all kinds of foods, but this, right. but their flagship is this Smithfield ham,
mm-hmm.
which is the most noted for, at least. I mean, I know they have they've become a slight conglomerate.
Now, but if I guess the big concern is that what if China has this incredible need for food, right?
What you're thinking. Yeah, but they buy up all our food companies and ship all the food to China. We starve to death.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there'd be some riots in the street, though. That's not going to work out.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. But there's a lot of this going on. China is buying up food companies. And obviously, you know, how many years ago did we talk about how many chickens it would take to feed the Chinese population?
Yeah, what was that number? Trillions?
It was like 50 million, 50 billion a year.
Oh, is it 50 billion? That's all?
That's just a rough guess.
Hmm.
And the question was, just think of that. That is a lot of chickens.
Yeah.
A lot of chickens. I mean, you know, the amazing thing, you ever go on a cruise, right?
No.
Well, if you go on a cruise, a lot of times they do the old, you know, the last day of the cruise.
They have chicken. Yeah.
Well, no, they have a roundup in the thing, and they tell you about the cruise and, you know, kind of give you a free $100 off your next cruise. And they give you – then they start with, just to give you an idea, we have 2,000 passengers on the cruise. And on that, there's, 400 that are from New Jersey and 200 – da-da-da. And we have 1,500 crew. Of that, 90% are from the Philippines and 10% of this. And here's some other statistics. We went through – 4,000 dozen eggs this week. We went, they give you this list that you're like, oh my God, really? I mean, wow, that's an incredible amount of food that you went through, right? That's just one cruise with 2,000 people for 1 week. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're glomming and they throw the food out at the end of the night. You know that, right?
I don't know.
Anything that's laying around is gone.
Okay.
So, but the point is that, can you imagine how much food consumption is in, here, there. In
China.
Yeah, it's amazing. Just amazing.
Well, that was a long trip.
Yeah, thanks. I'm back.
Yeah, good.
Let's talk about energy drinks, which maybe was what I need here. It seems that a group representing about 250,000 doctors are calling for an absolute ban on marketing energy drinks like Red Bull, Monster Beverage, and... they don't talk about those little five-hour energy things, those strips you put on your tongue.
Right, all those things.
No marketing to youths. So what are you going to do? You have a commercial on TV that says if you're under 18, don't watch? Or you have old people drinking it, so it's good for the – how does that work?
I don't know. It seems to me to be just like – what's there between this and Jolt Cola?
Same thing.
Yeah, they had Jolt Cola. It was on for a long time, but it never caught on the way this stuff is because this got this taurine stuff in it, which is that horrible flavored bleh that's in these drinks.
It's bull piss.
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah, it definitely is bull piss.
Yeah, well, and it's supposed to, I don't know what it does, mm-hmm. but I don't drink any of these things. I think they're, you have a cup of coffee or have a cappuccino if you want a jolt of coffee. That'll do it.
Right. Anyway, the group is studying, looking at studies. It says that drinking this stuff leads to heart problems.
And reports about emergency room visits by children, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Who drove themselves there.
Yeah. Without a car.
This has been going on and on and on and on. And, you know, Monster Beverage has been moving all around. Very popular. Red Bull, private company. Probably the most popular of all of them. But then you have, what about like a Mountain Dew that's pretty highly caffeinated too?
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're concerned about this, the whole idea that...
Yeah, I think this is the beverage lobby trying to get these things. people are drinking too much of this stuff instead of the old stuff.
Well, but the kids do other things with it too. They're mixing it with all sorts of crap.
Yeah, vodka. But no one's ever mixed a Coca-Cola with vodka or rum for that matter or anything.
Right. And you know what? What the American Medical Association says is, drink the vodka straight if you're 12 years old. don't put the energy drink in there. I want to talk about this. You watch the television and you watch and you listen to the radio and you hear these financial shows and you hear these guys talking about a stock and every once in a while the guys that are talking about the IBMs and the Microsoft, the Visa, the MasterCards come up with this like bizarre stock out of nowhere that you never heard about. I'm thinking, what is that? Where's that coming from?
Mm.
Well, Tobin Smith, who's a pretty well-known money manager, and he works with Fox. Well, he worked with Fox in Fox Business. He was terminated this week because it seems he took $50,000 for promotion, promoting companies. So he would take $50,000. Maybe it was a one-time fee. Maybe it was a multiple fees over time. And he would go on Fox and start talking about things and bring up these companies.
Mm-hmm.
And move the stocks through a pump and dump kind of deal. And I mean, what is this guy who's pretty successful, has I think some books out, a pretty good following, and all that, taking 50? Doesn't that just show you the color of his overall being? If he's going to take 50 grand to do that kind of thing, what does it say about him as an advisor?
Well, obviously that's a form of corruption.
Yeah.
I did this on the No Agenda show. I said, why don't we just get over all this and let people do their own. Don't pay them. Don't pay Tobin Smith any money. Don't pay anybody. Make them go out and get their own advertisers and just roll out and say, here's the stock I like. And I, by the way, they're my sponsors. And just get away from the whole model that we're living in right now. And I think maybe he's just ahead of his time.
I don't think that will work, but okay. That doesn't sound too...
It's kind of the way it works with Forbes nowadays.
Yeah, but nobody really thinks that's what's going on. When you let people know that's what's going on, the problem is going to be that nobody's going to trust the data.
Oh, yeah, you might be right.
You got to keep the whole idea that they are...
You know, Forbes, everyone who writes for Forbes gets paid a percentage of the income from that page nowadays on the blog.
Really?
Yeah, I think the thing in the magazine is going to change to that, too. It's the way to do it. It's because if you can't deliver numbers, this is an old idea. And I think it's got good and bad sides. But if you can't deliver numbers, you're just a dud who writes these boring pieces. Why should you get paid? Nobody's going to read them.
Right.
And if you drive the traffic into your site because you said something crazy, you get all the money. This is the future.
Well, we're going to see some unbelievable headlines then coming out.
There's already some. I get suckered by these headlines constantly.
Yep.
But anyway, that's bad. By the way, $50,000, it seems like...
Not worth it.
I don't think... Well, it's not only not worth it, but it's... I don't know. It just baffles me. I mean, how do you do the deal? Hey, Tobin, if I could give you 50 grand, can you plug us?
Yeah, you put... I don't know. It's PR firm and just total greed, stupidity. And who knows what he owned. Maybe he owned those stocks, too, on top of it. I'm sure you usually get a piece of that deal, right?
Well, here's the way I see it. I thought this was illegal.
I thought so, too.
I thought the SEC, as when you're writing about financials or talking about like we do on this show, and we have an interest in the stock, when we talk about it, we'd have a disclaimer. But if you're just being paid to shill a stock, I thought that was illegal.
Maybe this is the beginning of something bigger with him because, his firing when they found this out. But it's terrible. I mean, listen. I watch a variety of shows here and there, we don't have CNBC or Bloomberg or Fox News or anything like that in the office because it's just terrible, in my opinion. Rather get the news from other sources and figure it out for ourselves. But, when you got these guys that come on and we talked about Cramer and just pushing stocks and own agenda and, selling.
It's definitely has an agenda.
Terrible. So.
Well, according to Smith. He says he was asked about violating Fox's rules. He says that policy was added late last year. My contract was not subject to that clause. He's like adamant about it. He'll probably sue him and win. Here's the joke of it.
Not subject to what clause? That he
can't
stupid.
Do insider or whatever. I don't know.
That's standard. And they could fire him for that anyway, even if it's not a contract deal. I mean, that's just bad business. That's just underhanded and taking advantage of the public.
Yeah, well, the poor public.
Yeah, they could take advantage of all the time.
No, that's the constant thing going on. It's all that's all it is. It's all the public getting screwed.
Yep. So I thought, speaking about getting suckered in, so... I think my daughter said, hey, look at this game, Dad. I don't usually play games on my iPad and all that, but it's a game called Candy Crush, which seems that everybody's playing. Here's something. I think this is one of the most brilliant marketing and ways to go viral that I've ever seen. This is a silly game. It's like Bejeweled or those kind of games where you got to move things around, kind of like in a puzzle.
And, yeah, it's fun for a minute.
But what's interesting about this game is that you get lives, and when you lose your lives, you have a time period that you can't play for. Let's call it 20 minutes, okay? On the other hand, if you want to play because you're just totally wrapped up in it, what you do is you go on Facebook, and you find your friends that are playing the game as well, and they'll give you lives. And if your friends aren't playing it, you just mention it to them anyway, and then they start playing it, and then everybody starts swapping lives. And on the game itself, because it's linked with Facebook, on the game, which is, shows you a little map of where you are, you know, whoever's at that spot, maybe, their little picture shows up. Their Facebook picture.
Oh, another good reason not to be on Facebook.
Yeah, well, but just follow me here on the marketing, okay?
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So now you could either choose, once you get to like level 50, you can't move any further. It's just not possible. Unless you pay 99 cents, which is reasonable, or you get some friends at Facebook to sponsor you again, okay? So on top of that, they have other things you can buy inside the game. You know, in-app purchases, something like $1.99 to buy this lollipop thing that smashes them, or $2 to buy the fish thing. They have something in there. There's four or five things you can buy. They have this paintbrush, they call it, $39, that will help you kind of move forward in the game because it does something, whatever. $39. Now, it's even more fascinating, about 45 million people playing this thing. They're signed up, and it's all over Facebook. And now the company, this is, I don't know how long this has been going on, this game. Maybe I'm really late into it. It could be a year old, whatever. Now the company's going to go public. How amazing is that?
Well, the company was founded in... was founded in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
King.
Yeah.
And this game came out in April, so it's been a little over a year. So you're a little behind in the game. That was in Facebook, and on the iPad, it just came out in November.
In November, okay. So it's 6 months.
6 months on in the pad, and yeah. Well, they saw what happened with those other guys, Zynga, and so they're going to go public. Sure, they would. Why not?
Yep. Hopefully they'll run it a little bit better than Zynga, who let off a chunk of their staff and their stock is just
well, it happens
terrible.
To the best of them. There's no sustainability with these companies. This is essentially the same as the rock and roll 45 RPM business back in the day when they had these so-called one-hit wonders. These guys who had this big hit song became number one and a band. There's hundreds of them. And then they couldn't do another good song at all.
Right.
In today's world, you have the one-hit wonder, and then you do an IPO.
Right.
Just like Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs going public, because they had one song. It's idiotic.
Yeah. Well, it's what it is, And these days, you don't even have to, create a record or get a manager. You could just basically do your own promotion.
Yeah.
I know some people are doing that, and he's getting pretty...
You can get money.
He's got fans. He's got a bus. He's got tours. Kid was 18 years old.
Yeah.
Well, he's going around doing all sorts of rapping.
He's got a lot of initiative. Good for him.
Now, you like insider trading. Well, insider buying and selling, right? So what I thought I would do is put together a bunch of sites that had information related to that where you can actually do research.
Right. Are we going to put it on the website?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good little list here.
Yep.
Insider Monkey... You've got insidertrading.org, Wall Street Journal page, insidertrade.net, insiders.morningstar.com. Have you compared these?
Yeah, I looked at some of these. Insider Monkey is interesting. Let's see. I'm going to click on a couple of these here. The Morningstar is just more of like a dashboard in a way. It gives you a variety of different things about insider trading and what the weekly buys were and sells and where the sentiment is. Wall Street Journal also has a bit of that going on. InsiderTrade.net, that one. the I'm trying to remember which one I like the best. This one was kind of interesting. They have a nice like insider ratio buying and selling, and then they give you a little story about each one of them, who's, you know, the biggest buys and sells and who's buying it. Hmm. Guess what number five is? You're not going to believe it.
What?
Opca Health.
Ah, that's funny.
$700,000. I don't know where this guy gets this money from, but there's some sellers too.
So the top, I'm going to read the top five or a couple of them. But Carlyle Group at the top,
mm-hmm.
which is always a good idea. Although the Carlyle Group's the big owners of the guy who leaked the NSA document. He was working for Booz Allen Hamilton or whatever.
Yep.
They're owned by the Carlyle Group largely. Ah. Mm-hmm. So this, as a buy, is something I would be skeptical of. PBF Energy, interesting company. Atlas Resource Partners, I don't know anything about them. Invivio, and then Opco, mm-hmm. which is at $6.83. Now, the Invivio is interesting because it's $2.06. That would be a...
he bought it for $1.70, this guy.
Yeah.
Nice. He increased his stake by 840%, this guy, Mark Ganni.
Yeah, yeah, that's an interesting one there. That one would be attractive to me.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the sellers on the bottom, Guidewire, CDP.
Yeah, the sellers aren't that good.
I mean, there's a whole weekly discussion. I mean, this is kind of more of a blog style, right?
Yeah.
And then the other ones that were interesting were, the FinViz. There's two of them on FinViz. You see that one, though, that the secondary one? That's a filter that we created there. See that?
Oh, hold on.
FinViz?
Let me go back. So the second one, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So this gives you a whole gigantic list of all the different trades.
Yeah, this is all mostly sales. At least the page I'm on.
Yep. But if you look also at the latest, then you can click over to the latest insider trading and the top 10% owner trading this week.
The latest insider. Click on that.
So you can see all that. And what was the other one that I liked? Let me see Inside a Monkey, if that one. There was something about that. This was okay. I mean, there was Quest Cores on there. And if you click the symbol, it gives you a little bit about it and who bought it and, you know, what hedge funds own it. And the top insider trading that happened, what the date was. So this is kind of nice to look at. And there's a good... story about each one of them.
Nice.
That's related, yeah. So there's a good amount of sites that are available, and we'll put those on this week's DH Unplugged show notes and main page of the site. So there you are. I mean, FinViz has it on the front page also.
Right. Well, they have just the top six. Top six, mm-hmm. the top three up, top three down.
Mm-hmm. So WWDC.
Yeah.
And it came and went. What happened? Anything?
They got the new computer. You're probably going to want one. The tube.
What's that?
The new Mac Pro.
Oh, right. And then they have
pretty
a new
powerful,
name.
Pretty powerful. I think it's going to be a winner.
Uh-huh.
But you can't do anything. I mean, once you buy it, you have to buy it the way you want it because you can't really do much to it except maybe add an external hard disk. It's sealed.
But, and then they came up with another name for the... the next versions of Mac called Maverick, which...
Well, some of it's pretty lame.
Yeah, I didn't know what they had to come with. Did you watch it? Did you see that car race thing?
No, I didn't. I didn't watch it.
They had this thing where the computers and maybe your handheld device can control these cars that are on a track. But more importantly, the cars were smart in that they're programmed to do things like to go around this figure eight track and... you know, you program to there's four cars, so three of them to block the other car. And I didn't get the whole thing.
I didn't see it.
I didn't understand it. Okay. Anyway, emerging markets in a rout. Brazil's now down 18% for the year. Maybe time to look at this stock or the place. I mean, it's interesting with their market so overly weighted with Petrobras, which is a oil company, of course, but it's government-owned.
Yeah, the problem with Brazil is that they're having riots as we speak. There's
it's always good, the riots. The riots are always good because after the riots, do you see what happened when the Turkey's markets got just rocked and then the riots stopped for a day or two? The market was up 6%.
Yeah, well, it might be a good thing for that, but this is being underreported, so we don't know what's going to happen.
Yep, okay. Well, we'll take a look at that. Gold is getting ready to either dump or shine from here, and I think that we are in a position right now, right at this exact moment, that it's going to be a great point of make or break, because you have, with the Fed coming out tomorrow, and obviously a lot of potential movement with currencies on what he talks about, that we may see the, you know, a pretty substantial move in gold. And if there is going to be a discussion about how, you know, there is going to be this tapering or, you know, whatever, and dollar moves higher, you know, we may see gold move. Gold was down, I think, a little over 1% today. 1.5% or so.
Right.
So we're going to watch what's going to happen there. Should be very interesting to watch. And then finally, Eastman Kodak says it's going to seek court approval for a $406 million rights offering that can give creditors a bit of big equity stake as it emerges from bankruptcy. It just won't go away, huh?
It's unbelievable.
Just
that poor
just
company.
Nothing goes away.
They, you know, there's just, I don't know, it's a pigheadedness of those people.
What are they going to sell? I mean, what is the? Are they going to try to bring film back?
Well, they've given away their best patents already, so they really don't have much to do. I don't know. It's like Polaroid. Polaroid, once they went through this process, they just dead in the water, and the people just rent their name to put on their own products.
So you got a couple of, what do you have? Just a thin amount of people working there, and just kind of lunching a lot and hopefully making deals that they buy your...
I think, if you're in one of those companies, say you're working at Kodak, you have to be sitting around, lunching depressed.
Yeah. What are we going to do today? I mean, talking about lunch at 8:30 in the morning.
The kind of conversation around that lunch table must be fascinating.
No, yeah, I'm sure.
Well, you know, it's when so-and-so came in. That's when it downhill.
Yeah. You remember
should have stayed with film.
Right. Do you remember the day? The digital still can't keep up with the film. Oh, man, that Kodachrome and Ektachrome thing we had, nothing beat that. Those were the days. I still have some in my freezer. You know?
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, let's take a look at our
By
stock.
The way, it's a freezing film in Florida. Yeah. You bring it out to thaw it. There's so much moisture in the air, you ruin the film. You'll never be able to use that film.
I hear you. So we're going to talk about our stocks.
Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
Stocks on the page also.
Yeah.
To get there and see what's going on.
That's funny.
And what we do is...
You're starting to break up now that we're going to talk about our stocks.
Really?
Yeah, that's weird.
Maybe we'll come back a little bit. What we do is we talk about some ideas that we have. Sometimes we have some. Sometimes we don't. We get things in there that we think are interesting to look at for the next few weeks. And we have a rule that there's a 10% downside limitation from any point, 10% trailing stop. Of course, this is not an offer to buy or sell any stock. I did not receive $50,000 for touting any of these names, nor did John, nor did we receive any money for this.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, zero. We didn't even get a dollar or a free lunch, in fact.
Nothing. And John, myself, or clients may own these stocks, and we'll put those notes and disclosures on here. But you're still in the lead with actually two positions, still with Live Nation of 55%, that really rocketed, and Cree, which is the manufacturer of those very efficient light bulbs that everybody seems to be getting their hands on, our joint pick of McGraw-Hill. Awesome. You stopped out on New Star Energy. I was stopped out on the oil and stopped out on Unitech. But look at that new bright and shiny one on the bottom.
Which one?
What?
TSON?
No.
Questcor?
Questcor, look at that.
Yeah, that thing did really well. What's this TSON doing on here? It's blank.
It's yours.
There's no numbers in here.
I can't pull anything in from that.
Oh.
It's like one of those real penny pennies.
Oh.
Google doesn't have any data on it.
That stinks.
Yep. So we have no idea where it is. Take a look at it on one of your charts, see how it did.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago.
I'll check it later.
Pandora short still holding on to about a 5.5% gain. And other than that, let's see. Did well in JP Morgan, up 11%. That was another insider buying deal. Acadia, insider buying, up 33%.
Yeah,
awesome.
That's a winner.
You know, basically just follow around the who's buying. And that's John's new mantra, doing very, very well with that. And, I would think about shorting Adobe. Actually, we did short Adobe after the earnings announcement, close to the top where it is. And if it holds past this, I would say about 45, I guess 45.75 or so. If it goes, 45.50, if it moves past there, there's some problems. You know, the stock could open up real well and gap higher. But if it kind of comes into that 44.50 range and it holds underneath that, there's a real opportunity to see some downside on this thing. Mm. I mean, that's something, but it's not lighting me. I mean, I like the short, but I'm not sure, I would put this here. And there's a couple other plays out there that are interesting to look at. The consumer discretionary has been on fire lately. Just keeps on moving. Abercrombie may be something that could come down on the upside. Maybe I have something on the upside. I'm going to put in on Unipixel, UNXL.
What does that do?
They make some of the touchscreen parts and products for that, and they've been absolutely obliterated. The concern was that there was going to be like Apple and a few other companies were going to come out with their own, not use their product anymore.
Ooh, this is a good idea.
Oh, they got killed. Killed.
Hmm.
Now, I've seen some other companies that have some of the same things have happened to. One of them was a camera company that makes little bitty cameras in the iPhones and Samsung
devices. Right, yeah.
And
always up and down.
I'm trying to think what their name is. I know them pretty well. Just had it. Anyway, their stock was really terrible. It came out with earnings and just blasted higher. A lot of low expectations, a lot of concern, a lot of people that are selling to get out of it. And, a couple of these names have done very well. One of the antenna makers and providers. So I'm going to put UNXL as a buy.
Okay, well, I'm going to put in Vivo then.
What is that? V?
ENVI.
EN.
But since it's a penny stock, I need a 15% cushion.
Yep. We'll put that on here. Insider. Trailing stop. All right. It's in there. Okay. That's John's pick. Okay, that's good. Copy. Now, just to remind everybody, I need that product from Microsoft. So, for the Salesforce, if you have it. So just, you can find me, just write me and just tell me and that you have it, and that'd be awesome. I thank you.
No, that'll be interesting anyway. At least maybe you have less to complain about.
Oh, you're the grouse, I'm the complainer. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I haven't been too grousy today.
Oh, you need to be grousier.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, you need to really start bitching about something. It's got to be something you can bitch about.
Well, there's lots to bitch about.
Are you going to short Tesla eventually? What are we doing?
I don't know. What is the deal with them? What's it look
well,
like?
Well, they came out right after you said it. The next week they came out with a front page article on Barron's how the stock should go down 50%. So it went down about 3%. Now it's back up again.
Oh. Well, what is it? Let me look at the thing.
I think it's at 101.
It was TSLA.
TSLA. I think it's about 101, 102, somewhere right around there.
Yeah, 103. 103.39.
There you go.
It's a highly polarizing company. There seems to be a great number of people who want the company to fail. It's in value walk.
That's a true
statement. Why do so many people want it to fail?
I think...
Elon Musk is kind of...
well, it's because maybe the money he makes, he's like the third or fourth highest paid CEO.
Yeah, well, he's doing well
himself. He's an abrasive kind of guy. I don't know why. I mean, I drove one recently. It was fabulous.
Yeah, no, it's a great. The S is a great car. The other one's too dinky. It's stupid. I don't know why anyone ever bought those things, but the S is a work of art.
Are you doing it or not? We're going to wait another week?
Let's do it.
Oh, boy. All right. Short. Because it's overpriced. And it doesn't cost you a dime.
It doesn't cost me anything. It's great. This is the way to do it.
It's great. Great.
Can't lose, really.
Nope. Exactly.
But then you can't win either, so that's not kind of the drawback. All right. Yeah. Well, I think that wraps it up for this week.
It's a wrap. See you next week.
Next week, it's on.
All right.
Adios.
Bye. You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.